Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have another great show for you today. My guest will be Edie Feinstein. She is the Managing Director of Brooklyn Food Works, which is a really awesome food incubator in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. And she'll be coming on in a little bit, and we'll talk more about the facility there and what she does and how that is really transforming small food businesses and really helping to pave the way for them. So stay tuned for that. But in the meantime, I'd like to share with you a recipe, some events going on in and around the city, and some things that are in the news. This past Thursday, I attended the New York City Food Policy Breakfast up at Hunter College. And Hunter College has a great New York food policy program that does scheduling all the time. And they have great, great events. This past week, Naomi Starkman, who is the founder and chief editor of Civil Eats, was the guest. And she was being interviewed by Charles Plackin, who's the director of the Food Policy Center. And it was just wonderful. I mean, learning more about Civil Eats and their commitment to reporting on the news that is not always reported on, having to do with food, education, the environment, health, and really trying to decipher and simplify some of these very complicated issues that are out there so that regular people like you and I can understand it and hopefully do something about it. You know, one of the things that I do a lot is call people to action. I like to encourage you to write those letters to your congressman, sign the petitions, call your legislators. It's really important. You really see as you are in the food movement for a longer time that it's really the policies that need to change and the people we elect into those positions that need to change. And so we all have to become partners in making these things happen. So there's lots of great events going on in and around the city, and the Food Policy Center of New York up in Hunter College is one of the places that has great events. On September 19th, they're having an agriculture and technology breakfast. And these breakfasts are free. They put out a really nice spread, and it's just great conversation, very thought-provoking. And this discussion on September 19th will have Kathy Soul, who's the CEO from Teens for Food Justice, Jason Green, who's the CEO from Edenworks, Rob Lang from Farm One, and also Ed Harwood, who's the co-founder, chief science officer at Arrow Farms. Anyway, they're going to be discussing agriculture and technology. And then the next day, on September 20th, there will be a conversation with Marion Nessel. And that's in the evening from 6:30 to 9. So, just really, really great events. So check out the New York City Food Policy Center at Hunter College for some really great events. Also, we're winding down the summer. I cannot believe that this is Labor Day weekend. I wait all year for summer to come to get the gardens going, and here it is, the end of the summer, and it just flies by. I don't know where the time goes. But there's still great produce out at the farmer's market. And my dear friends Larry and Heather, who own Fox Hollow Farm, have opened up their farm and have started doing farmer's markets right there on site at their farm in Huntington Station. They have some of the most beautiful organic vegetables I know of. So their farmer's market is every Sunday from 1 to 4 in Huntington Station. They're also selling off all these hostas. They used to raise specimen hosta plants, and so they're letting people dig them up and buy their own hostas also on the weekends or by appointment. So check out Fox Hollow Farms. I have contact info on my website. September 10th, there's a couple of fancy galas going on. One is upstate at the Glenwood Center in Cold Spring, and another one is out in Sag Harbor at Estia's Little Kitchen in their garden. Both are fundraisers. You can find that information on my website. September 11th is the 10th Annual North Fork Foodie Tour, and this really sounds like a great event. you go visit 20 different locations, from farms, vineyards, food producers. There's going to be cooking demonstration, talks, and tastings, including Macari Wines, Eight Hands Farm, Deep Roots Farm, Greenport Brewery. Anyway, lots of fun. Again, info's on my website at IE Green, and you can sign up for that. It's only $25 per person, so it should be really fun. Another friend of mine is starting an Insight Meditation 6-week beginner course. I know lots of people ask me all the time if I can teach them how to meditate. And I know this is a little off topic when it comes to food, but you know, my tagline is for body, mind, soul, and spirit. And I really mean that. You know, my interns this summer really commented on that as well. My interns not only work in the garden and in the kitchen, but we also go to a weekly yoga class just to, you know, make that connection that we're doing this good work for our bodies and the planet, also for our spirit. And yoga is one way of doing it, and meditation is another. So if you're interested, the information is on my website. It's starting September 14th, and it's every week for 6 weeks at the New York Insight Meditation Center. And George Pitagorsky, the man and friend who is leading it, is really awesome. September 17th is the second annual Massive Vegan Potluck taking place in Astoria Park on the Great Lawn. That should be fun. I wish I was going to be here. I will be away. I'll be heading to Terra Madre in Italy for the Slow Food huge international conference and symposium. And I'll bring lots of information back from Terra Madre and share it with all of you and with my Slow Food North Shore chapter. September 23rd is a human resources boot camp for nonprofits. I'm sharing this because the Pro Bono Partnership, which runs this boot camp, is an awesome organization. They offer free legal counsel to nonprofits, not for litigation, but for all those other legal issues that you have, setting up a nonprofit, contracts, labor issues, all that kind of stuff that nonprofits still have to deal with. Anyway, this is a one-day, all-day boot camp for issues having to do with human resources. So if you are in that league, check out, again, information is on my website or go to the Pro Bono Partnerships website to find out more information. There is a fall season Chinatown herb walk with the natural nurse, Ellen Kamai, and Dr. Z. And they do this like twice a year. It's a wonderful event where you are toured through Chinatown and you visit different Chinese herbalists and find out about different Chinese medicine that you can participate in. Of course, you get to sample some great local Chinatown food. It's just, you know, it's a wonderful backdoor experience into Chinatown if you're interested. September 30th is the Yale Food System Symposium. It's the fourth annual one. It is taking place on September 30th up at Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies. And the theme this year is Feeding a Growing World, Perspectives in 2016. Should be a great event. You can go to, again, to my website for the links to find out more information about that. Coming up on October 15th and 16th is a Monsanto Tribunal and People's Assembly. I don't expect many people to head off to the Netherlands for this. It's taking place in The Hague. But it is a wonderful thing to find out about, to read about, and to send your support and solidarity to let people know that we care about the future of our food. And Monsanto, with their bottom line, is really anti everybody except them. And so we really need to stand together in solidarity and do what we can. They're looking for some donations to help this event. So you can find out more about that on my website also for taking action. I always have a take action section and in the news section, and this week on take action is information about the Monsanto Tribunal. It's also an opportunity to donate to the Clean Energy Incentive Program, which is trying to bring more incentives to lower-income communities to go solar and other forms of renewable energy resources. So check that out. And there's also still a call for working towards GMO labeling. This bill that we called the Dark Side that President Obama passed last month is really terrible, and GMO nonprofits are not giving up. We are fighting back, and we need to really still keep growing this movement so that we can reverse this policy, because it's really not good for us. Now I would like to share a recipe with you. I made an awesome recipe. It's called braised seitan with shiitake and portobello mushrooms. My recipes, so you know, really are geared not only for vegetarians and very often vegans, but they are geared for the 99% of the population that eat meat, because these dishes are so full-flavored and full-bodied that you will not miss the meat. And that is my goal, is to not necessarily just share my good recipes with all my vegetarian friends out there, because you know they're good and I know they're good and you're going to enjoy them. But it's to win over people that think they can't do without meat. You know, meat, the production of meat is responsible for somewhere in the range of 35% to 40% of all the greenhouse gas emissions. Since I even heard at the conference this week someone said 55%. But it's a huge amount, more than all the cars on the planet is the production of meat. So we really need to, tone that down. You know, I'm not expecting everyone to become vegetarians, although that would be lovely, but I think everyone can do their part and cut down on their meat intake. But they're not going to cut down on it if they think they're just going to be able to eat steamed broccoli and brown rice. So we need to provide them with recipes that are really going to satisfy them and take the place of that meat entree. And this is really one of them. Seitan is wheat meat, and it really has that a solid texture that has some weight to it. And it's very filling, very satisfying. So check out this recipe. I think you'll really be happy with it. It's braised seitan with shiitake and portobello mushroom medley. And you can start with a package of seitan. I do have on my recipe how to make your own seitan if you're interested. It's really the best, but most people are not doing that. So you can buy a package of seitan. You can use one package or two packages. One onion cut in half, then sliced into crescent moons. Let me just mention also with the package of seitan, you do want to drain it and lay them out on a dish towel so that you're drying off the pieces of seitan. You can get chunks or strips. For this, I prefer the strips, but if all you can find is chunks, that will work as well. So you have the one onion cut in half and sliced into crescent moons, 2 to 3 carrots cut into chunks, one head of broccoli cut into florets, 3 portobello mushrooms sliced, 6 to 8 shiitake mushrooms, stems removed and then sliced, 2 tablespoons grated ginger, 2 tablespoons chopped garlic, olive oil, 4 tablespoons tamari, 1/4 teaspoon of smoked paprika, 1 tablespoon dark sesame oil, 2 tablespoons aji marin, which is a sweet rice cooking wine, 1 teaspoon hot sesame oil, which is optional, and 2 tablespoons sesame seeds toasted. You're going to start by covering the bottom of the wok, and when the oil's hot, you're going to add the onions. Stir those around, then add one of the tablespoons of garlic and 1 tablespoon of the ginger, and also add the carrots and stir that up. And when you're stir frying, you always start with the root vegetables. I know I say this a lot, but for those that are listening for the first time, you start with the vegetables that are hardest, because you want all the vegetables to end up cooked at the same time. So your root vegetables would be the hardest there. So carrots, onions, if you're using parsnips, which actually if you had parsnips, you could throw those in here too. They'd be good. And you're going to mix those up with the ginger and garlic and stir that up for a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes or so, on a medium-high heat, stirring constantly. Then you're going to add the broccoli. If you need a little bit more oil, you can add a little bit more oil. If you want to cook with less oil, you can add a little bit more water and stir fry with the water. And cook that for a few more minutes. Then you're going to add the mushrooms and let those cook down for a few minutes. And all the mushrooms. You can add the shiitake and the portobellos at this point. When the mushrooms are soft, you're going to remove all the vegetables from the wok and transfer them to a bowl and just set them aside. Then I'm going to put some more oil in the bottom of the wok. Add the remaining ginger and garlic to the wok. Let that cook for just about 30 seconds. Then add the seitan. And you want to sear that for about 5 minutes. So, you know, keep mixing it up so that all the surfaces of the seitan get seared in the oil. Then you're going to add the smoked paprika. And I only put a little bit in because I don't love the flavor of the smoked paprika, but just a little bit gives it that roasted, I guess, meatiness that some people are looking for. But it really works in this recipe. So just a quarter teaspoon of the smoked paprika and cook that for a couple more minutes. Then add 2 tablespoons of tamari, and that's going to really sear on the outside in the hot wok and place like a coating of saltiness on the outside of the seitan. Then you can return the vegetables back to the wok, add the aji marin and another 2 tablespoons of tamari, and cook the vegetables with the seitan for a few minutes, allowing all those flavors to meld together. At the end, you're going to add the dark sesame oil for some taste. That's like a seasoning, not for cooking, and some of the hot sesame oil if you want a little spice to it. And then taste it. You can add more tamari if you'd like. If you'd like a little more smoked paprika, you can add that as well. And then you're going to sprinkle 2 tablespoons of the toasted sesame seeds on the top before serving it. And it's delicious. You can serve this with, you know, brown rice or a mixed rice variety. You can also serve it with some udon noodles. That would be really great. But anyway, enjoy it. I'd love to hear feedback. So if you do make it, please send me a little text. Let me know that you liked it. You can leave messages for me at bhavani@ieatgreen.com. And now it's my pleasure to introduce my guest, Edie Feinstein. As I said before, she's the managing director of Brooklyn Food Works, which is a food incubator and shared commercial kitchen in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. Edie was born and raised in New York City. Before this, she worked at Dinner Lab, which is a national pop-up dining company. She also worked for FoodX for a little bit. She loves baking bread, hosting dinner parties, and she's a real foodie, and I love Edie. So, Edie, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me today and talking about Brooklyn Food Works. I first found out about it when I went to the Ag and what was the conference?
Food and Enterprise.
Yeah, Food and Enterprise Conference is great. And I ran into you there, and you took me downstairs and toured me of this wonderful place that I had no idea even existed. So tell us about Brooklyn Food Works. When did it start, and what do you do there?
Yeah, so Brooklyn Food Works was, you know, first opened this past February, so we're actually very new. And it came about as a public-private partnership. So the public side was the NYC Economic Development Corporation, the NYC EDC, and the Brooklyn Borough President's Office. And they basically came together to put some money towards opening a food incubator in Brooklyn. And the reason was that there are food incubators in Harlem, the Hot Bread Kitchen, and there's one in Long Island City, the eSpace, their entrepreneur space. And those had been funded by the NYC and the Queens EDC, respectively, and there were no food incubators in Brooklyn, but all of these amazing, you know, small food businesses popping out of Brooklyn and nowhere for them to go. So they put $1.3 million together in a grant and put out a request for proposal. And so at this point, I'm working at Dinner Lab in New Orleans. And as a team, we saw the RFP and decided that we would submit a bid for it, even though it was completely, you know, different than what we were doing at the time with the pop-up dining club. We thought that it aligned with the mission, since so many of our chefs that we worked with at Dinner Lab had, you know, ideas for small food products of their own. You know, someone's famous fish sauce or brown butter or, you know, whatever it was. And so we decided to submit a bid, and then we won the bid. So one of the co-founders of Dinner Lab moved to New York to start working on this project.
And where did you say Dinner Lab was located?
It was in New Orleans.
New Orleans,
Which is a super fun food city. And So one of the co-founders of Dinner Lab moved to New York, started working on it. We decided to put it in the old Pfizer building, which is where you came for the Food and Enterprise Conference. And the reason that we put it there was twofold. One is that Dinner Lab already had a kitchen in the building, so we were familiar with the building and the owners. But also, it's a huge food hub and such an amazing thing that has popped up. For those that don't know, this is a kind of like a huge building that takes up, you know, two entire blocks of New York in Bed-Stuy. And it was sold, you know, it used to be a Pfizer manufacturing plant, and it was sold in 2008 and bought in 2012 by this, you know, real estate developer that had already developed another building in Long Island City. And for whatever reason, became a hub for food businesses. So a lot of different food businesses, hundreds, are in the building. Some bigger ones that you may know, like People's Pops, and Roberta's Pizza makes a frozen pizza there, and all sorts of different food businesses. And so it actually is a really great spot for Brooklyn Foodworks because we are a part of the greater food community, inside that building. And mm-hmm. So Brooklyn Foodworks is a 10,000 square foot kitchen. So a lot of times people are like, what is a food incubator? You know, and tell me in layman's terms. So the way that I like to explain it is imagine a big kitchen and, you know, in our case, it's 10,000 square feet and we divide it into multiple kitchen stations. And each station is where one food business works at a time during their shift that they've reserved. But the station can turn over multiple times throughout the day. We're currently open 6 a.m. to midnight, but anticipate opening, you know, 24/7 very soon. And so we have 80 different early stage food businesses that work out of the space at this point. Half of them are catering companies. Many of those are smorgasbord vendors and vendors at lots of the different markets that go on around New York City. And then half of them make packaged products, everything from jam to salsa, granola, smoothies, I mean, you name it. So these businesses have all decided that instead of trying to build out their own kitchen or production space, which can be very expensive, they've come to work at our space. So we've built it out, and they pay us rent to be there. Now, there are commercial kitchens where you can do just that, but what makes us an incubator more than just a commercial kitchen is that we provide a lot of additional services beyond just the kitchen space. So we have a mentorship program where we have experts, you know, in everything from food photography to logo, label, packaging design, law, accounting, finance, all sorts of stuff that they can meet with and chat about, you know, questions or problems that they're having with their business. And I think, you know, and then we also put on a lot of classes and events, which I can talk about a little later, but also I think the community of being there with each other is one of the biggest advantages to working in a space like this, where if you're working in your own kitchen, you know, you're kind of just dealing with all of your questions and problems alone as they come. And here there's a community board where they can post and they can talk to people in the kitchen and say, hey, I, you know, need to order new labels for my company. Where can I do that without spending a lot of money and not ordering, you know, in some insane quantity? And I need to find a delivery service for my meals, you know, service business. Like, who should I be looking at? All those types of questions that come up all the time, and there's so much great shared learning that goes on in our community.
Mm-hmm. Sounds so vibrant. And it felt that way, too. When I was there, I think it was relatively new, right? When did you open?
We opened in February, and you were there in April. So, yeah, it was pretty
right.
new.
So it hasn't even been a year yet. And how many businesses did you say you have already?
80.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, it's
amazing.
It's really been growing fast. It's been very cool to see the demand. You know, we really haven't had to do any outbound marketing at this point. It's all been inbound, word of mouth. The food community, I guess, is pretty small, but it's been great to see. We do tours twice a week. And, you know, these are open to the public. So anyone listening here, if you're interested in coming to see it, So you go on our website, which is thebrooklynfoodworks.com, and you click into our event calendar. There are links to sign up for our tours. That's every Tuesday evening, 6 o'clock, and Thursday morning, 11 a.m. And then there are also lots of other classes and workshops that we put on that are on that calendar. And almost all, if they're on the calendar, they're open to the public. So sign up, come by, and see what you think.
Wow. It is a great place, so I recommend people going to check it out. I'm still waiting to figure out what I might want to do there because it's vibrant. You go there and you feel like, I want to be a part of this. You know, just had that feeling. One thing that I really liked there was like the classroom spaces. Can you talk a little bit about that? Have you had much use of people coming in and teaching classes there? Because that's, I know, what I was looking at it for.
Yeah.
Are people doing that now?
Yeah, so it's a great space. So basically, separate from the production kitchen, we have this private demo kitchen, which is a beautiful kitchen that you can rent even as a non-member. And it's $80 an hour, but we also can expand it into our conference room, which gives you a little bit more space. And that's $100 an hour, but it's just a really cool space with a beautiful kitchen, a place to sit down. And we've seen a lot of different uses for it.
But you're breaking up.
We have seen... Oh.
Okay, I hear you now. Go ahead.
So we have seen... Can you hear me?
Yes. You said $80 per hour, and you open it up to the other space, and then it's $100 per hour?
That's right. Yep. And so we have seen a number of good uses of the kitchen, everything from cooking classes, as you mentioned, to... people doing food photography sessions and cooking videos for their websites or blogs, and people just coming in to do R&D. One thing that, you know, is something to know is a lot of times people come to us who have an idea for a food business but aren't yet ready to make the commitment to actually joining us as a member. And the reason is that to join us, you need to have a certain paperwork in place. You have incorporated your business. You have your food handler's license. You have a lot of different, licensing documents in place. And so if you're at a much earlier stage and all you really need is a kitchen to play around in, the private kitchen could also be a good place to do that, where you just need some space to tinker and play. I would like to start to increase the number of cooking classes that we do in that space, where either we are just encouraging other people to rent it and do that, or we're actually curating those ourselves. So, that's something that we are thinking a lot about right now.
Mm-hmm. And I know you said you won the bid for this. Was there a lot of competition for that? Were there a lot of people interested in...
I think we were like one of eight.
Uh-huh.
Or something like that. But I'm not sure who the other people were.
So you had been living in New Orleans, huh?
Yeah, after college I moved down to New Orleans. I had grown up in New York, so I wasn't in a real rush to move back immediately. And I had spent my childhood going to New Orleans for Jazz Fest with my family. So I had really fond childhood memories of it, and the opportunity presented itself. I moved down actually with a fellowship program called Venture for America, which was brand new the year that I did it, but is now, a number of years old. And Venture for America is basically, similar to Teach for America, but for startup companies instead of teaching. So they placed me at a educational software company in New Orleans. And I was the seventh employee, and I worked there for 2 years. And while I was there, Dinner Lab started in New Orleans, and I got to know the founder. And when I left Kickboard, I went over to Dinner Lab.
Mm-hmm. And when I ran into you in New York also, another time, you were working at FoodX, no?
Well, we ran into each other at FoodX, but I was still at Dinner Lab at the time.
Okay. I thought
yeah,
you
I was just an attendee.
Uh-huh. Okay. So can you share with us some of the businesses that are currently working at Brooklyn Food Works?
Yeah. So if you've been to Smorgasburg this year, we have a number of Smorgasburg vendors, which are, you know, fun to talk about because they're so easily accessible if you wanted to make it over to Smorgasburg. So one of the biggest there is a company called Big Mott's, which does mozzarella sticks and pizza. And so they are working out of the space, and they, you know, something fun to talk about is they got this, like, automated breading machine where they put the mozzarella sticks in on one side, and it dunks it into an egg wash and the breadcrumbs and comes out breaded on the other side. And they set it up in their station, which is pretty cool. They make about 6,000 to 8,000 mozzarella sticks for every weekend. So it's a pretty big operation. We also have at Smorgasburg a company called Fedorov's Roast Pork, which does like Philly cheesesteak sandwiches and roast pork sandwiches. We have a St. Louis gooey cakes company, which is really delicious, those gooey butter cakes, and a few others. And then, you know, package products-wise, some companies that stand out to me that I love, there's a product called Zesty Z, which is a za'atar and olive oil blend. And, you know, he's just started selling. He's in, I think, 5 stores around New York right now and growing, but you can also buy it on his website. And if you don't, I mean, I feel like za'atar is, you know, becoming very popular this year, but it is just the most delicious and tangy condiment, and I find myself using it in, like, everything. I roast vegetables with it. I put it on a cheese plate. You know, you can brush it on, like, a flatbread and bake it. I mean, there's just so many ways to use it, and it's delicious.
Is it a spread, or, I mean, I know of za'atar as a seasoning, you know, a mixture
right. So
of spices.
It's a za'atar and olive oil blend that you can use as a spread or a condiment or really in any way you want. But I think he calls it a spread. Another one that I love is a company called Stag Jam and Marmalade. And she is making a number of different jams and marmalades, but one in particular that's become very popular is her banana jam, which is a mix of banana and lemon juice and sugar and vanilla bean. And it is very, very delicious. I enjoy it on some whole grain toast with peanut butter and banana jam and maybe some slices of bananas too if I'm going crazy. And it is just really delicious and has become, I think, you know, for sure her most popular product.
Now, is there any overall philosophy of the types of businesses coming there that have any commitment to, sustainability or natural, or like the pork company? Are they using, you know, farm-raised, sustainably, humanely raised pigs for their pork?
So,
or is it all just kind of like the same old stuff, just small, you know, small startups? You know, do they use any artificial ingredients? You know, same with the mozzarella. Is it, you know, is it hormone antibiotic-free cheese? Or is it?
Most of these companies do really focus on what ingredients they're using. So, like, the pork company is using Pat LaFrieda, which is, you know, a really great pork purveyor. And the mozzarella company uses Caputo Brothers mozzarella that they really love and a, you know, specific flour. And they all do this because I think especially as a really small early stage business, you have to differentiate yourself somehow. And so they are doing all of this stuff, you know, in a small batch by hand way. And so it only really makes sense to do it in the best way possible. So while that isn't something that we would necessarily like turn a business away for doing, I'm finding that a lot of them are really focused on, you know, their ingredients and where their stuff is coming from anyway. At this point, because we're not investing personally in these companies, we don't have any sort of real thesis around who is in the space. Like, you know, a certain number of bakers or a certain number of, you know, companies focused on sustainability or something like that. I think if we did move into more of the accelerator model like FoodX, we might start to have more of a thesis around the types of companies that we are, you know, investing in. But for now, it's really just trying to curate a nice food community that has a nice mix of different types of businesses.
And I know there's multiple kitchen spaces there. Do you have one that you've designated kind of gluten-free so that you can have a gluten-free company in there, or are they all multi-use?
So we can't, because it's a shared kitchen, we can't be gluten-free certified or kosher certified or any of those types of things, organic. And so there isn't, even if we designated one kitchen space to be that, it still wouldn't be that, you know?
Right.
So we haven't done that, but we do have a number of companies in the space that make products with all gluten-free ingredients. And because our kitchen is so new and so clean and everything is sanitized in between every use, they have all, you know, decided that it's okay for them to work in the space. Now, because they work in the space, they have to put on their label that they work in a facility, you know, that processes nuts and wheat and dairy and all these other things. But a lot of them have done tests. You know, there are these like tests that you can do to measure the amount of gluten in your product, and it's all like below, you know, the amount. So there's basically like no trace of gluten. So, you know, so for now it's fine. I think, you know, because this has been so popular, we're now thinking about ways that we can expand. And I think some natural expansions would be if we were able to build out some new spaces, that we could build out an actual gluten-free certified space, or, you know, we could have dedicated kitchen space for businesses that are big enough to warrant that.
Right, right. Edie, this is a good time for us to take a couple-minute break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other businesses that are in that building that you guys are part of the community of. Okay.
Don't go
anywhere, everyone. I'm talking with Edie Feinstein from Brooklyn Food Works. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
I'm Eric Davis, and I want to invite you to join me for Expanding Mind, a show that features conversations about the cultures of consciousness, magic, meditation, neuroscience, religion, technology, psychedelics, weird media. Expanding Mind is devoted to changing your perspective without insulting your intelligence. Tune into the Progressive Radio Network every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And check out the archive page for Expanding Mind on PRN.fm. And remember, keep your minds open.
The Dr. Peter Breggin Hour interviews the most exciting innovators in the field of mental health, from therapists and researchers to advocates of patient rights. Join me and other pioneers in psychology, psychiatry, and empathic living with the aim of improving your life and the lives of everyone you touch. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen live or on the archives 24/7 at PRN.fm. Don't forget to rate the show on iTunes. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network, and my guest is Edie Feinstein from Brooklyn Food Works. So, Edie, I wanted to just get a better idea of some of the other companies that are in that building, because it was just such a vibrant place. You know, your kitchen, as well as everything going on there, it just felt so alive and you know, felt good walking in there. Can you share with us, in addition to Roberta's, what some of those other food businesses are that are in that space?
Yeah, so the food delivery service Maple has taken over a number of floors in the building, and they are doing really well. Food Kick, which is a new part of Fresh Direct, is also on the ground floor. They do delivery, like really quick turnaround delivery on these little mopeds. People's Pops, as I think I mentioned earlier, there's a company called Raw Apothecary, which makes juices and smoothies. There is actually a cool company. There are two different companies. One is called Farm to People, and Farm to People is a site where you can go on and buy kind of like you can curate your own package of all of these different types of hot sauces and granolas and basically different types of non-perishable food products. But they've curated a really nice assortment of mostly, I think, local to New York and also just small batch food producers. Many of the Brooklyn Foodworks products are on there. And so it's actually a great site for gifts. So you can go on and kind of curate a different box of, you know, local New York products for a friend that lives outside of New York, maybe. And they also own another company called Quincible, which is a which is something I thought that you would like, which is, you know, essentially you pay a monthly fee, and it's kind of like a CSA, but in this food delivery box where they curate some fresh produce, and they have a vegetarian box and a non-vegetarian box, but in the vegetarian box, I think they, you know, usually include something like a tofu or a seitan and lots of different things, and then they put together some recipes that you can make from the box itself. And there are some coffee roasters in the building. My favorite is a company called Cafe Integral. There are, you know, some more fun kind of dessert companies. There's a gluten-free bakery called Crumville, which is incredible. There's a company that does chocolate-covered pretzels called Fatty Sundays. You know, there's a bakery. I mean, it's like the list goes on.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. There's someone that makes dog biscuits, so all sorts of different things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, it is. It's really vibrant. You can just feel it when you go in there. So it must be fun to go to work every day.
It is.
And walk into that space.
Yeah, it's really fun. And we had a building-wide barbecue last week, which was fun. You know, despite being such a great food community, we don't always do a great job of coming together as a building. So it's something that I'm working on and would like to start building more of a community, but it is always fun when we can kind of meet each other and discuss all of the shared things that we have going on in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody rents space at your place for their business, is there also availability for storage, both like refrigeration or dry storage there for their product?
Yeah, so we have a 600-square-foot walk-in fridge, about a 200-square-foot walk-in freezer, and then a dry storage area as well. So built into our membership plans, there's a certain amount of storage that's included. As the number of hours in your plan goes up, the amount of storage that we include goes up. But definitely, you know, we have a lot of on-site storage.
Mm-hmm. And is there anybody that's helping with delivery? I know you said that's part of the other services, you know, that you have mentorship, but you might be able to help people with a delivery company to help get their products out there. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, honestly, I mean, the way that I've been helping people with delivery so far is that we have a business. So we have a number of businesses who use different delivery services. So it's really kind of just a shared knowledge type of thing where when someone is new and they're looking into different delivery options, we can share a lot of the options that people are using. We also have a business to kind of put together like a research document on a lot of the different types of delivery companies that we've been sharing around.
Mm-hmm.
And those are, you know, mostly local. We have partnered with Worldwide Express, which is part of UPS. And so that has helped a number of our businesses who need to mail things across the country, and especially ones that need to use dry ice or other types of things to keep those products cold or frozen while they're on their way. So we've formed a partnership with Worldwide Express. We've also formed partnerships with a bunch of different food purveyor companies so that when new food businesses come in and they have never, you know, bought wholesale before, we can help them through that process. So we have partnerships with Baldor and Chef's Warehouse and Ace Natural and a lot of different purveyors. And many of them have, you know, set up special situations with us where, you know, a number of members can pool together an order that meets the minimum if they don't all meet the minimum themselves.
Oh, that's really helpful.
For these
right.
small businesses, yeah.
Right, that's really helpful. And so they can get the deliveries directly to your place as well.
Yes.
Well, that's good. And for small businesses who are really just trying to take something to market, you know, there's all these logistic things like getting barcodes and labeling. I think you mentioned, you know, you could tell someone where they could get a food label. But what about the logistics of having a barcode? How complicated is that for a startup company?
So it's actually fairly simple. Maybe it was more complicated a few years ago, but now there are websites where you can go online and buy a barcode very easily. There's a company called Recipal, where you can go online and create a nutritional label for your business very easily. And then on the more technical side, if you needed to do shelf life testing or things like that, we have relationships with various labs, both around New York and further, that you can work with to do some of that more technical testing. Really we have either the knowledge or the relationships to help you through the process of getting your label together.
Right. Because all that nutritional information is also, it feels like it would be really complicated for a startup company to put together. You know, how many calories it is, a serving size, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you have a company that you recommend to people for that as well.
Right.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's, you know, for someone who really wants to start something up, it seems like there's so many different parts, and you really help put that together. So it feels to me like it's much more than just a incubator kitchen. It's really, you provide a service that I think is so valuable for a startup company who doesn't really know where to start, because there are just so many logistics in bringing a product to market, things that people don't even think of. Is there anything that I'm leaving out that you also do there that you'd like to share, or any events coming up that you want to share?
I am thinking. I mean, I think, you know, the best thing if you are sitting at home and thinking that you might have a product that you want to start is that you should, you know, start coming to our events and becoming a part of the community and meet some of our members and our mentors who lead them. As I mentioned, if you go to our website at thebrooklynfoodworks.com, we have an events calendar, not next week, but the week after. We have a number of great events, actually. One is on Tuesday, September 13th. It's called Raising Capital for Small and Very Small Businesses, and that's led by the law firm Goodwin Procter in partnership with a company called Start Small, Think Big. And then on Wednesday the 14th, the next day, we have a really fun event called Trends and the Overall State of the Food Industry, and that's led by two people from the Specialty Food Association that I met during the Fancy Food Show this year. And they will be coming to our space and leading this, you know, really interesting event based on trends that they identified during the food show.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm looking at the event page right now, and I actually don't see that there. So I guess some of these things have to be updated.
No, it should be there.
I see the Goodwin Procter operating an online business.
Are you in September?
No, it's in October. Okay. There it is. Yep. Okay, perfect. And as far as building the community, you said you're working on trying to coordinate things with some of the other businesses in the building to create more of a community feel.
Yeah, I mean, we just have such a beautiful space, and, you know, there aren't a ton of community spaces in the building right now, so I'm planning to start, I think, putting together a monthly happy hour where people can just come down to the space. Brooklyn Brewery has generously donated beer for it, and just kind of, you know, in an effort to bring people together in a casual way and chat, and, you know, if any interesting partnerships come out of that, then, you know, all the better.
Mm-hmm. What was the space that where I went to the Food and Enterprise Summit? That looked like an open communal space, was it not?
That is the old Pfizer cafeteria. It is an open space, but it's not a community space. It's just a space that the building hasn't rented yet. So they haven't, like, designated that as a community space.
Uh-huh. Right. Okay. All right. And where do you see Brooklyn Food Works going? Like, in 5 years, do you see it being, you know, open 24/7, completely booked? Like, what's your dream for Brooklyn Food Works?
So I think that, you know, I mentioned some of the ways that we could expand earlier, and I think that we can actually draw a lot of inspiration from a food incubator kitchen in D.C. called Union Kitchen. And Union Kitchen is cool because they started with an incubator kitchen like ours. They expanded to a second kitchen where they had some dedicated spaces for businesses instead of, you know, the spaces that just rotate. And now they've actually continued to expand. They've opened up a retail storefront called Union Market, where you can go and buy different, basically you can go get coffee and some pastries, and then you can also do a little bit of grocery shopping. Many of the products in there are products that are made in their kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just some other products too, but I think it's such a cool thing because it would give us another opportunity to promote our members' products, but, you know, just in like our own way. And also something that they've done, which I thought was really interesting, is that they started their own distribution company. So if we got a truck and we formed relationships with stores, could we help to distribute our members' products as well instead of them getting their own distribution company?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's so many ways that we can expand.
Now, in the space, I'm not remembering, actually, is there a space where one could have a large dinner party, kind of like what you had the dinner labs in New Orleans? You know, if somebody wanted to put on a cooking class with, you know, that would culminate in an end farm-to-table dinner, you know, like a long table that would sit 20 or 30 people. Can you house that?
Yeah. So in the private kitchen conference room space, we've done a dinner for up to 30 people. And then if you actually expand and did the dinner in our co-working space, we've done a dinner for up to 60 people in that space.
Uh-huh. And for sit-down?
Sit-down, yep.
Uh-huh. Lovely. Lovely. Yeah, because I would think, you know, that would be a real selling point also for chefs who want to come and do cooking classes there. You know, that's, of course, an integral part, is sitting around the table at the end of the class. So that would make it really nice.
Some other events that you may or may not already know about that we are going to be, you know, having a presence at in September, there's an event on Sunday, September 18th called Taste of Williamsburg and Greenpoint.
And
it's in the East River State Park, right down the water from where Smorgasburg is. And you can buy tickets, and those tickets give you a certain number of tastes from these different restaurants that are going to be there, but it sounds like it's going to be a really fun event. Brooklyn Food Works will have a table with two of our food vendors. One is a company called Jalapa Jar, which makes a fresh salsa, and they make Austin-style breakfast tacos with their salsa. And so they're going to be doing little taco bites. And then another company called Two Cool Chicks, which makes ice cream sandwiches, will be there giving out samples of their ice cream sandwiches as well.
Great. And when is that again?
That is Sunday, September 18th from 1 to 5.
Great. I will definitely add that to my event page. Well, Edie, thank you so much for joining me. It's been wonderful, and I'm so excited about watching the expansion of Brooklyn Food Works and seeing all the different companies that are coming out of there. It's really exciting. So everyone listening, I'm talking with Edie Feinstein from Brooklyn Food Works, and you should sign up for one of the tours if you want to learn more about it. It's a really great space. Edie, thank you so much.
Thanks. Talk soon.
Okay. Everyone out there, have a great rest of the week. You've been listening to Bhavani at IE Green, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now.